If you're anything like me, and I know I am, the beginning part of Shmona Esrei is always a little bit hard to relate to. We want to just finally jump in and daven for the things that we want. Baruch Hashem, or sometimes unfortunately, there's no shortage of things to daven for, no shortage of things to ask for, and we can't wait to finally dive in and make it real and talk about the things that are real to us, the things that are meaningful to us. And there's this section at the beginning that has this praise that, again, I've always had a hard time relating to. What is this doing here? How are we supposed to relate to this? Is the Kodesh Baruch Hu just in need of praise? But it's more than that. You know, Dr. Blumenthal was here recently. Big zechus to have him in the shul. And one of his go-to lines he likes to say is, before I begin, I'd like to say a few words. Sometimes you have like an introduction before the introduction. Before I begin, I want to just say a few things, and then I'll begin with an introduction, and then I'll say something. The introductions to Shmona Esrei are quite numerous. We've spent all this time building up to this moment. Aside from taking a few months to understand the fundamentals of tefillah in general, we started going through the Siddur. But you would think, okay, but what does davening mean? It means for a person to pray, to ask God for the things that we need. But we started with a lot of praising, a lot of Berachos HaShachar, and then Karbanos, and Psukei DeZimra, and Berachos Kriya Shema, and Shema itself, and then Yetzias Mitzrayim. And now we think, finally, now davening can begin. And then, wouldn't you know it, there seems to be an introduction built into Shmona Esrei itself after going through all those introductions. Let's count for a second how many introductions we have to Shmona Esrei and see if we can figure out what is the significance and what takeaways can we have going into Shmona Esrei, which again is all about this, the center core of it is about davening, asking for the things that we need, health and wealth and peace in Eretz Yisrael and Mashiach. We want those things that are at the core of the tefillah, but there's another introduction. So where do the introductions begin? I called this section by ways of introductions because there's so many introductions to actually getting to ask for what we want. Number one, in source number one, the Gemara says, Darash Rabbi Simlai, La'olam yisader adam shivcho shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'achar kach yispal. A person has to praise Hashem, arrange a praising of Hashem before a person actually davens. Minalam, we quoted this in the Shiram Psukei de Zimra. Mi Moshe, Dachsiv, O'eschan al Hashem ba'yisal yemor, Moshe daven to Hashem to go to Eretz Yisrael. But before he asked to be allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael, he had some praise of Hashem. Hashem Elokim, Atachi losa laharos esavdecha, eskadlecha, v'yesedcha, chazaka, asher mikel b'shamayim uva'aretz. Moshe praises Hashem and his greatness and his grandeur before actually making the request of Eber Navi Arei Es Haaretz HaTovah. So we see from Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to praise Hashem before we ask for anything. And says the Aruch HaShulchan in source number two, that is why before we get into the crux of davening, which is Kriya Shema Shmona Esrei, we have Psukei DeZimra, where we quote the Shiri David Avdecha, we quote Mizmorim from David HaMelech, so that's the prelude to davening. Prelude to davening is, you have to have Mizmorim, you have to have Shevach before you can get to Tefillah. So find Psukei DeZimra is the introduction to Shmona Esrei. But it doesn't stop there. In source number three, and this was our topic last week, the Gemara talks about things that have to go side by side. Tekifos, things that are require immediacy. And the Gemara says in source number three, Tekef legu'ula tefila. A person can't just go into davening. You have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, Emes V'yatzev, Gaal Yisrael. You have to mention Geula before you're davening. Our second introduction. It's not enough to introduce Shmona Esrei with praises of Psukei DeZimra. A second introduction is you have to also mention Geula, our leaving of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us out, the Parshios of these weeks. Okay, fine. We mentioned Geula. Now can we actually dive in? Nope, there's another introduction to Shmona Esrei. What does the Gemara say? It's verse number four. Also Maseches Brachos. The Gemara wants to know, Hechi Matzi Samech, how can a person accomplish being Masmich Geula L'Tfila? Isn't there an interruption between Gaal Yisrael and Shmona Esrei and the Bracha of Avos? A person has to recite that pasuk from Tehillim, which really doesn't belong to Shmona Esrei. The Mefarshim point out that pasuk is in singular, sefasai, fi yagid, maifi, as opposed to all of Amidah, which is in plural form. It doesn't really belong there. So why is that pasuk, Hashem, open up my lips and allow my mouth to sing your praises? That's another introduction. The Gemara asks, isn't that an interruption between the introduction of Geula and the actual tefillah? The Gemara answers, Ravashi Amar, Kevan de Kavur Abanan b'tefillah, ki tefillah rechadami. It becomes part of tefillah. Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, even though it's not officially the Shmona Esrei itself, but because it takes on an introductory role, it somehow becomes part of Amidah, and therefore there is still a connection between Geula and tefillah. It's our third introduction. We already had Psukei DeZimra, praising before you ask. Then we had Geula, so Shema and Gaal Yisrael before. And then we have a third introduction of Shem Svasai Tiftach, that one pasuk comes before. And now that we actually get to Shmona Esrei, itself it feels like an introduction. In source number 5, also Gemara and Brachos, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, La'olam al yishal adam tzrachav lo b'shalosh rishonos ve'lo b'shalosh achronos ela be'emtza'iyos. Within Shmona Esrei, I've gotten here. I didn't ask right away. I first went through Pesukah de Zimra. I didn't ask right away. I went through Geula and Kriya Shema and Gaal Yisrael. I didn't jump right in. I asked Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Now I'm actually in Shmona Esrei. Now can I possibly ask for the things I want to ask for? And the Gemara says, no, you can't start asking for things yet. You have to get to the first three brachos first. There's three sets in Shmona Esrei. There's the first three brachos, there's the last three brachos, and there's the middle brachos. And the first three brachos are not intended to be for asking things. Tosfos point out, we make a Zochreinu L'chaim, there's a couple of national things we ask for, but by and large, we don't make bakashos in the first three brachos. Why? The Amar Rabbi Chanina, Rishonos Doma Le'eved Shemesader Shevach Lefnei Rabba. The first three brachos of Amidah is comparable to an Eved who's about to ask for something, but before he does, he arranges the praises of his master, Emtza'iyos Doma Le'eved Shemavakesh Pras Mirabba. Then the Eved actually asks for what he wants, that's why he's there. Achronos Doma Le'eved Shekibel Pras Mirabba V'Niftar V'Holechlo. And then the Eved says thank you before he leaves. And we'll spend three different shirim, one talking about this first section of Amidah. After the break, we'll talk about the middle section, the core of Amidah, asking for things, and then another shir on the third part of Amidah, which is the taking leave of Hashem, of saying thank you to Hashem. But in this first section, can you believe? There's another section of praise? We did that already. We had Pesukei de Zimra, we had Geula, we had Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Now I'm actually in the Amidah, and the Amidah itself requires another section of praise, another introduction, another thing to go through before I actually get to the things I want to get to. By ways of introductions, there's a lot of introductions here. The concentric circles. Within the Amidah, before the Amidah, the part before the before of the Amidah, before the before the before of the Amidah. Let's see if tonight we can come up with something more meaningful. Like I said, I struggled many years with this first part of what I'm supposed to be thinking about. Chazal say you have to have Kavanah during this first bracha of Avos, but what relevance does the... I get the Avos, I get them. The Avos are very meaningful, Zechus Avos. But I just want to get to ask for Refuah. I want to ask for Shidduchim. I want to ask for Parnassah. I want to ask for peace. I want to ask for Mashiach. I want to get to the things I want to get to. How much praise does this God need? My goodness. What's going on? How much do we have to say it? So what's with all these intros? And why is it important for us to be able... Obviously, the answer is going to be, it's not really for Hashem. He doesn't need to hear the praises. It's that we need to say it, but the question is why? What priming, what way of shaping and filtering our bakashos can come about from having so much praise, specifically this first section of Avos, Gevuros, and Kedusha, Kedusha Hashem, Makel Kadosh. Those are the first three brachos that the Gemara calls being Mesadar Shavach within the Amidah after having already done it beforehand. This is the mini section of Shavach within the Amidah. The question is, what do those brachos have to do with the themes we're trying to shape ourselves before we can ask for anything specific? So tonight I'd like to suggest three different ideas, three different main takeaways to think about how these praises in general, but these opening sections of Shmona Esrei specifically, allow a person to have the proper mindset to be able to daven when it gets to the bakashos, when it actually is time to ask for the things that are important to us. The first approach we already mentioned last week, Rabbeinu Yonah, commenting on the idea of smicha skula tefillah. Rabbeinu Yonah, 800 years ago, cousin of the Ramban, Rabbeinu Yonah, we mentioned last week, describes the importance. Why is a person who is masmich gula tefillah a ben olam haba? What makes a person so great? What kind of life are they living that leads them to be a ben olam haba? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, when a person mentions gulas b'tzrayim, the third parsha of Shema, emes v'yatzav, ga'al Yisrael, we mentioned last week, a blending of the old and the new, making it real that it's happening right now, connecting our salvations of the day to what Hashem has already done for us. It shows our faith in Hashem right now. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in source number 6, Shemisha eina boteach bo, lo yivakesh b'menu klum. If you ask someone for something, you indicate that you trust that they're the ones who can help you with that thing. I wouldn't turn to someone and ask for $1 million without also taking the time to realize, where am I going to make this request to? To whom am I going to ask for this $1 million? And if I do ask that one, it indicates I trust that one has the $1 million to give me. And when a person mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim before davening, Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Nimtza shagam hu boteach bo, I too turn to Hashem and say, just as you saved my ancestors, and really me, I see myself as having left Egypt, just as you helped that time in the past, Shiyana oso kemosha anali Yisrael bavur shabbat chubo. It shows our faith, and therefore it's really important for us. Our way of opening up the Amidah is not just by mentioning the things that we need. We stop and we take stock. of the fact that by davening to Hashem, we are acknowledging Him to be the source of all these things, of das and refuah and slicha and kapara and mevarech hashanim and kibbutz galios and mashiach and peace. To be able to turn to Hashem allows us to remind ourselves that this is the one I'm turning to. This is the one who has all the ways to help me. The Rashba, not the one of the Rishonim, Talmud of the Ramban, the Rashba, again, 750 years ago, says this so beautiful in his commentary in source number 7. The Rashba explains that these are the three brachos of praise. The first section of Shmoneh Esrei has three brachos, and they're trying to get us in the right mindset of to whom we're speaking and why it's appropriate to dive into Hashem. The Rashba points out there's really three things a person could think about incorrectly that can skew their davening. A person could be entitled and think, I'm owed a sense of good life. If God created me, He owes me health and wealth and all the things I'm asking for. He owes it to me. I'm entitled. I come with a sense of demanding, a sense of righteousness, of entitlement. That's not going to help a person have the right mindset of humility for davening. A person also can come in and say, okay, I'm turning to Hashem. Like I can turn to any Avodah Zarah, Rachmana Litzlan. Maybe He can help, maybe He can't help. It's also going to be undermining a person's ability to daven if he doesn't really believe Hashem can actually help with these things. And the third thing that could ruin a person's tefillah is when a person thinks, yeah, Hashem can help, but the doctor can also help. Yeah, Hashem can help, but the shadchan also can help. Hashem can help, my boss also gives me a paycheck. If a person has any of those mindsets going into tefillah, they go straight to atachonin. Our question was, who needs all this praise? Let's go straight into atachonin. Let's go into the bakashos. But the Rashba says if a person is flooded or even tainted with a little bit of a sense of entitlement, or a little bit of a sense of, does Hashem really have the ability to help me with these things? Life seems so dire, it seems so helpless. Or a person believes, yeah, Hashem could help, but I'm still banking on that person to call me back for that job offer, for that doctor. I'm still banking on those things. And says the Rashba, when a person, before a person could actually ask for anything, we have to reaffirm to whom we're talking, but also remind ourselves of these qualities, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes us nothing, we're not entitled. Number two, that Kodesh Baruch Hu can do anything. And number three, that there's no one else to turn to. If you look in the second paragraph, that's where he connects it to the three brachos at the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. This is one of the most amazing sources for tonight. If you're going to get one source out of tonight, let it be right here at the beginning of this year. Right here. Source number 7, this Rashba, a life-changing, davening-changing Rashba. What are the first sections of davening about? What are the first brachos about? Says the Rashba HaRishona, Avos, Lahaktim Lenafsho, for a person to remind oneself, She'eno Sho'el Al Tzad Hagmul, they're not owed anything. Rak al tzad ha-chesed ha-muchlat v'hu amram v'zocher chastei avos. Person evokes the avos. Person says to Hashem, there's a zochas avos over here, which is a way of highlighting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not owe me anything. If I have any merit at all, it's because of zochas avos. Avos, says the Rashba, shapes a person's and diminishes a person's sense of entitlement. Number two, the second of the section is gvuros. We talk about Hashem's tremendous power. V'chaya mesim. Atzmiach Yeshua, Rafei Cholim, Samech Noflim, right? All these amazing things Hashem does. Gevuros lahaktim, to first preface, She'eino mistapek biyachoto al eza davar sheyirtze, af lahamisu lahachayos. We remind ourselves, I am speaking to the one who has all these powers. I'm not asking for anything at this point, but I'm reminding myself, I'm speaking to the one who controls life and death itself. For those who are alive, are they going to stay alive? For those who are already dead, can he revive the dead? He could. Whether it's revive the dead with Chias HaMesim of the Zman of Mashiach, or even a person, a life that seems decrepit, a life that seems lost. How can this business recover? How can life turn around for this person who's majorly depressed or broken? He's Bechai HaMesim. He can turn anything around. Any person who feels broken or lost, he can turn that around. That's our second important mindset. You have to believe, I'm speaking to the one who is a Gibor. He is of full koach. And what's the third mindset we have to have? Ashlishas, Kedushas, Hashem. That bracha always confused me. What are we saying over here? Hashem is holy. But what does holy mean? Make that practical. Make it real, Rashba. What does it mean that we are being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim with actual Kedusha and the Bracha HaKel HaKadosh? Shemakdisho Umamlitso Al HaKol. We elevate Hashem. We separate Him. Kedusha implies a higher level, a level above. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above and beyond all the means in the world, all the doctors, all the shadchanim, and all the soldiers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is elevated and above all those means that we see as Hashadlis. Umeyed Shekol HaKadoshim. And we say V'chol, even the holy ones, Yahav Luchasela, right? Even the ones who are holy, even the ones that are special, even the things that look to be successful, they all praise you. They all turn to you. Shu Remez Af L'Sechlim Hanivdalim. Even the ones who seem to be capable, the doctors who seem brilliant, and the soldiers and commanders who seem brilliant, all the things we think, all the other avenues we think can help us. Mehalalim b'chol yom, yehalalu chasela. How the bracha concludes, Baruch atah Hashem hakel hakadosh. Hashem is the only one who can help. Such a beautiful Rashba. Think about this and think about it again. Before we can begin asking for anything, we need this praise. We need to tell ourselves, we can't just go in and ask for things. If in the back of our minds we're wondering, how dare Hashem not give it to me in the first place? How dare I have to ask for it? We say, no, say avos. So Cher Chastei Avos, Magen Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a promise to the forefathers, but I'm not deserving in and of myself. Okay, but am I really speaking to the one who has the power for all these things? Maybe I'm wasting my time. No, Gevura, Mechayim Eis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can turn anything around. And therefore, before I ask for anything, remind myself, this really is the one who can help me. And then Kedushas Hashem, Shemcha Kadosh, U'Kedoshim B'chol Yom Ya'aluch HaSela, even the things that look to be holy, the things that look to be successful, they're really praising Hashem because He is the only one who can help. I'm not deserving, but He helps those who are weak, and He's the only one who can help those who are weak. That's the mindset we have to have. I'd like to suggest, this is not the Rashba's idea, but my own idea, perhaps the other three introductions we talked about before also work in the same fashion. The Pesukah de Zimra, Shivcho Shamakom, also highlights HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power over nature, creating the world, Kol HaNeshama Tahaloka, every breath of life belongs to Hashem. We acknowledge Hashem can do anything. That Gevura section of the beginning of Shmona Esrei. The idea of Geula, the Tefillah, We acknowledge that no one else was able to help us. We were slaves for hundreds of years, and no one could take us out. Kadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated that not only is He a power, like the Ramban said last week, the Ramban on the sixth parsha, the top one Ramban, Kadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated He is the power above all other powers. No other power could help us. Even the Kedoshim B'chol Yom, even things that seem to be what Paro thought, these gods, the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I am the God above all powers in the universe. And therefore, that introduction is also primed to help us believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Only He could take us out of Mitzrayim in a way that showed His dominance over all other powers. That's the third section. And again, Hashem's Fasai Tiftach is that first idea of the Rashba, that we're not deserving. We ask Hashem, help me speak. I don't walk in here entitled. I don't walk in and say, demanding. I don't know how to talk. I need You to open my mouth and help me figure out the right words because I'm overwhelmed. How neat is that? The three introductions before Shmona Esrei are these three themes to keep in mind about our unworthiness and relying on Hashem's chesed, Hashem's power and ability to help us, and our rejection of any other power being the source to go. Says the Rashba, those are in Amidah itself the three themes that the first bracha brings out. We can't just go into davening. We can't just ask bakashas right away. We have to stop and make sure that we know to whom we're speaking. We know we're speaking to the one who is giving us a chesed. We are grateful to be there. Before we ask for anything, we acknowledge that this is the right source to be asking, and there's no other source to be asking. This is the primer we want to have before we go to bakashas. Our first takeaway for tonight, one thing to think about. Again, if you get one thing out of tonight, let it be this Rashba. Things to think about before we could ask for anything. It's Him, it's only Him, and only because of His chesed. A second idea to think about, why is it so important that we open up with this praise? Why is it so important that we open up with mention of the Avos? An important question that I used to work at NCSY, I got all the time. And that is, why are the rabbis telling me what to say? If I want to pray, let me decide what I want to say. How could you have someone hand me a script and say, you want to daven for your life? Here, say these words. Say these words. Shouldn't I be the one to decide what's meaningful to me today and ask for the things I care about today? Wouldn't davening be a lot more meaningful if I got to say the words I wanted to say as opposed to following the script? Not just a script, but the same script. Again, Erev Bavoker Vitzaharayim, and then again the next day, and the next day, for decades upon end? Why? Why am I saying this text? To answer that question about why we're using a set text and why we're using this set text, we have to understand where this text came from. The Gemara in Brachos, in Daf Chaf Ches, in source number 8, asks, Hani Yud Ches Keneged Mi? Where did these 18 Brachos come from? And why 18 Brachos specifically? Now, if you had asked me, why is it 18 Brachos specifically? When the men of the Great Assembly, Anshe Knesset Hagdolah, beginning of Bayis Sheni, why did they establish these 18 Brachos? I would have said, I don't know. Maybe they didn't establish 18 brachos specifically. They made a list of all things important to people, things that people do or should find important, and they wrote it down. And it happened to total 18. Who says they were going for 18 specifically? Hold on to that question. The Gemara assumes if they got 18, they must have come from somewhere. Come from somewhere. So says the Gemara, three different opinions. I'm Rabbi Hillel Bered, Rabbi Yishmuel Bar Nachmeni. One opinion is, can I get Shmona Esrei as Karos, She'amar David be Havel Hashem Ben Eilim. This is Mizmor LaDavid, Mizmor Friday night davening, when we stand up for him. There's 18 mentions of Yudkei Vavkei in that parak of Tehillim. So because David HaMelech mentioned 18 praises, 18 ways of giving Hashem praise, therefore Chazal established 18. 18 brachas. Okay? Rav Yosef Amar, Kinaga Shmona Esrei as Karos Shabbat Kriya Shema. There's 18 mentions of Hashem, Elokim, different mentions of Hashem's name in one form or another in Shema. And that's why we have 18 brachos in Shmona Esrei. Amar Rabbi Tanachim, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi. Another opinion, Kinaga Shmona Esrei Chulio Shabbat Shidra. There's 18 vertebrae in the spine, and that's why Chazal made 18 brachos. Again, I would have said, maybe they just thought of things that are important to ask for. Why are we giving such significance to the number 18? Not sure, but there's some remez in the human body, remez in Kriya Shema, a remez in David HaMelech's Havel Hashem Ben Eilim, Tehillim 29. Then the Gemara asks, wait a second, I actually have 19 brachos in my Shmona Esrei. Hani Tmani Srei, Tishasrei Havyan, but that is 19 brachos. The Gemara answers, later point in history, when there's a lot of Malshinim, they added the bracha of Berchas Aminim. When people were tattling, there was a lot of risk to Jews being in trouble, they added a bracha. The Gemara asks an amazing question. Kineged mi tiknua, again, what gives you the right to make another bracha? And keneged, what if the 18 was keneged Mizmor LaDavid, or Shema, or keneged the vertebrae in the spine? So if you have 19 brachos now, how does that line up? And the Gemara goes through each opinion and says it still works. I'm Rabbi Levi, for Rabbi Hillel, who said it's about the 18 Shem Hashems in Tehillim 29, there's another Shem Hashem, Kel HaKavod Hirim. Kel is the Shem Hashem, that's number 19. For Rabbi Yosef, who said 18 mentions of Hashem's name in Shema, there's also the word Echad in Shema, which is also kind of Shem Hashem, Echad implying Hashem's Yichud. And for the one who said it's about the spine, there's actually another part of the spine that we didn't count before. That could be the 19th thing. The Gemara takes so seriously the idea there has to be a remez, there has to be a paradigm for the number 18. And if there's 19 now, you have to fit into that same model how it's possible to have 19. Again, why is it so important that we have a paradigm for this idea? So Rashi over here, Rashi I gave you on the second line, Rashi already points to the fact that the perfect source really is Mizmor LaDavid. Because the Gemara elsewhere tells us what the source was for the Anshe Kesed HaGedolah, and a lot of it started with that parak in Tehillim. In fact, some, as an aside right now, some say the reason we stand up for that parak of Tehillim on Friday night, why do we stand for that parak? We don't stand for the first L'chun Aranana, we don't stand for L'chadodi, except for the end, but why do we stand for Mizmor LaDavid? Because Karlbach made it very jumpy, that's why. Why do we stand for Mizmor LaDavid? Some say that was the original source of Shmona Esrei. So maybe there's a tefillah element to Mizmor LaDavid, maybe that's why we stand. But putting that aside for now, the Gemara in Source number 9, the Gemara Maseches Megillah, tells us the history of the Amidah. The Gemara tells us, Mea ve'esrim zekenim, there were 120 elders, ubehem kama neviim, and many prophets were among them, tiknu shmona esrei brachos ala seder. And the Gemara goes through sources. Minayin sha'omrim avos, havel Hashem b'nei elim. Minayin sha'omrim gevuros, havel Hashem kavavaos. Minayin sha'omrim kiddushos, hakel hakadosh, havel Hashem kavod shmo. Wow. Then the Gemara goes to a whole back and forth. What's the source for saying Bina afterwards? And what's the source for saying Tshuva and Slicha? I gave you a big, this is like 2 pages in the Gemara. I condensed it for you. But the Gemara has a source for everything. Why is this bracha here? Why is this bracha 7th? Why is this bracha 8th? Why is this bracha 9th? And why is this bracha before this bracha? How does this tie into this? And the Gemara finds everything to be sourced. Which again, you could ask, why must it be sourced? Just, you're telling us important things to say. Just tell us to say it. Why do they need a source? The end of that Gemara gives us the answer. The Gemara at the end of source number 9, after giving us the source, for the source for each bracha, the order of the bracha of Shmona Esrei, the Gemara says, Mikan ve'elach, where it's underlined, beyond these 19 brachos, Aser l'saper b'shivcha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whoa. We've been talking about praise upon praise upon praise, and now we're seeing a limitation. It is aser for a person to praise Hashem too much. What? Where would that come from? Why so? To Am Rabbi Elazar, my dechsev mi malal gevuros Hashem yashmiya kol tehila. So, what does that mean? Lemina ele malal gevuros Hashem. Who is fitting to be able to recite praises of Hashem? Lemishia chol lashmiya kol tehila. So, only if you can say everything, which obviously is impossible. We don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his essence to be able to express all of his praises, and therefore, for a person to be able to recite praising of Hashem, they have to be able not to cut it short. They have to be able to say everything. If you look at source number 11, this doesn't only apply to the number of brachas. You can't add a 20th bracha to Shmona Esrei. You can't add a 21st bracha to Shmona Esrei, because if you're praising Hashem, what is he? He is Mevarach Hashanim. He is Mekabes Et Chayamo Yisrael. He's taking care of the sick people. But you can't add another praise of Hashem. Not only that, in source number 11, the Gemara says that every praise within those brachos is also carefully chosen. The Gemara says in source number 11, Hahu denachas kamei de Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina was the rabbi in a shul, and there was a shuyach tzibur, and the shuyach tzibur decided to ad-lib. He decided to add more praises in his Shmona Esrei. I'm sure the tzibur wasn't so happy about that. Amr hakel hagadol hagibor v'hanara v'ha'adir v'ha'izuz v'ha'yirui v'ha'chazak ha'amitz havadai hanichbad. He added a lot of praises to his Shmona Esrei when he was the chazan. Him to lo ad should see him. Rabbi Chanina waited till the chazan finished. Ki see him, amrlei. Is that it? That's all Hashem is? All those praises you listed? You've sufficed? Why are you going on so long? These three that we actually say, Hakel, Hagadol, one, Hagibor, two, Hanora, Ilav Damrinu Moshe Rabbeinu Boraisa, and Sefer Devar, Moshe uses that phrase, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora. Had Moshe not said that phrase, we wouldn't be able to say any praise of Hashem had there not been a precedent in the Torah. The Achakasas HaGadolah only put it into tefillah because they found that Moshe Rabbeinu had said it before them. And you're going on and on and on and adding, you're adding on all those things. You know what it's like, the Gemara says? A king who has zillions of dollars. Almighty king, the one who has lots of silver. Lots of silver? You're not even close. You're way off the mark. It's disrespectful for a person to attempt to praise someone, but in the process only highlight a couple of things. My father likes to say that sometimes you go to more yeshivish weddings, and when they call up people for kibudim, they say, Hagadol, Hagibor, Admor, Hatzadik, Hachasid. My father likes to say that if Moshe Rabbeinu himself was being called up for a kibud, you know what they would say? Moshe Rabbeinu. To go on and on, the Admor and the Gon, Hatzadik, Ha'adir. Fine. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is the same way, the Gemara says. For a person to attempt to praise and praise and praise, you're inevitably going to fall short. And if not for the fact that the men of the Great Assembly had precedent for Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, they wouldn't have put any of these praises in. For a person to go beyond and beyond and beyond. And that was the Gemara's point. The Pnei Yeshua, 300 years ago, explains that's why the Gemara needed a source for all these brachos. We wanted to know, Han Yud Ches Keneged Mi. The Gemara wanted to know, what's the remez, what's the source for these 18 brachos? It's 18 mentions in this Tehillim, and 18 in Kriya Shema, 18 in the spine. Why does the Gemara need a source? Just daven, says the Pnei Yeshua in source number 10. Nira de pshita lehu tuva. It was exceedingly obvious to Chazal. Sheminyan hayud ches brachos hu inyan mochach. There was some remez. There was some precedent for the idea of 18 umechuvan, and it was carefully decided. Hainu mehadam askinim b'megillah. As the Gemara said before, the mikan ve'elach asr l'saper shevchos shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have a right to praise Hashem on our own. We don't have a right to make up our own set text. We don't have an ability to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. A person who tries to praise Hashem with their own text, with their own ideas, isn't only falling short. It's insulting to Hashem. It's missing the actual point. And so anytime Chazal established any sense of formal tefillah, it has to be built on what the Nevi'im said with Ruach HaKodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu said, what David HaMelech said, and all the sources in source number 9. Every tefillah has a source in David HaMelech, a source in Tehillim, a source in Yirmiyahu, a source in the Nevi'im, who with Ruach HaKodesh saw. What did they see? How much did they see? I don't know. But the ones who saw Ma'isim Rekava, they saw whatever it means to see part of Hashem or to see aspects. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have aspects. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. But they saw glimpses. They saw a mashal of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. They were able to describe with whatever they had. And the Achshav Kesef HaGadol just took that and plugged it in. And if they're making an extra bracha, you better have a source for it. Everything has to be sourced. And even going back to where tefillah originally comes from, it comes from Pesukim in Nevi'im, comes from Tehillim David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, but it goes back further. Where does it go back to? Who were the first ones to daven? It was the Avos. If you look in source number 12, the Gemara has a machlokes Who really established tefillah? Was it the Avos, or did Chazal establish it paralleling the Karbanos? Tamid Shal Shachar, Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim, the leftover Evar Mubadarim, and the Mar seems to first make a machlokas whether the Avos established tefillah, Avram Davin Shacharis, Yitzchak established Mincha, Yaakov established Mariv, or if they're connected to Karbanos. But the Gemara in the end concludes that it's not really a machlokas. The Gemara says, even the one who says Avos were misakin the tefillahs, look at the second to last line, Lo'om emulecha tefillahs Avos tiknum, v'as mechinu rabbanon akarbanos. Yes, the halachas of the karbanos matter in terms of the zman for tefillah and the format for how we daven, but it's because the Avos did it first. The Maritz Chayos here on this Gemara points to the Rambam, who passes like both opinions. The Rambam in one place paskins that tefillos were established by the Avos, and in another place he points out that the Rambam says tefillos were connected to the Karbanos. Which one is right? This is the whole point. It's Chazal were misakin tefillah to take on patterns of the Karbanos. But they only could do that because the Avos did it first. Had the Avos not given us the paradigm for the idea of tefillah, the idea of davening to Hashem and giving specific praises, they never could have established that. Certainly we can't establish our own tefillahs. But the Avos were the ones who gave us the permission, who gave us the idea, and Chazal came along, they put it in for the right zman and the right form to stand and to bow and to do things like the Karbanos. Those are details. But it's only because the Avos first taught us that this is possible. We could stand with Hashem, we could be in the presence of Hashem. So all these different Gemaras, all these different precedents, the number, the types of praises, the idea of davening at all, it has to harken back to that. Rav Schachter quotes this idea all the time from Rav Soloveitchik. I'll give you a quick two lines from one of Rav Schachter's farim, Yipnini Arav, where Rav Soloveitchik said, tefillah requires a matir, meaning you can't just daven. We have to have permission to daven. The concept of davening requires permission. The concept of davening and also the act of davening requires permission. Who are we to stand here and give a glimpse of the sliverest of slivers of Hashem's praise? Isn't that insulting? He says gallons and gallons of gold, and all we're talking about is a little sliver that we see? Gemara says, you're right. We wouldn't be able to say any of these things had there not been precedent. And therefore, going back to the NCS Warriors who wanted to know, why is it so important that we say this set text? Maybe this is another thing to think about, of why Shmona Esrei can't just begin with requests. Shmona Esrei has to begin with precedent. It has to begin with the reason for why we're saying tefillah in this way. Why, as Rav Schachter put it, if we're going to add on our own things, if we're going to be adding on bakashos to Shmei Tefillah and our personal businesses and our personal shidduchim and our personal health and our personal troubles, it's only in the context of the formalized tefillah. That tefillah is the matir to be able to daven for anything else. If Chazal wouldn't have given us a model that's based on the Avos, Moshe Rabbeinu, based on David HaMelech, if we didn't have those praises, if we didn't have that format, we wouldn't be able to daven. Chutzpah, who do we think we are facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's so important that we begin, before asking any bakashos, to the proper frame of mind, that we are connecting back to the Avos. And the introduction, among all the introductions of tefillah, is Avos. As if to say, there's a precedent here. There's a link back in this chain. We have a right to daven. This is our matir. At the Avos did it. Moshe Rabbeinu said these praises, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanora. Not more than that. But that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. And therefore it gives us permission to daven. So our second takeaway, our second thing to keep in mind as we get to the first section of Shmona Esrei, is to think about which praises we're allowed to say, which things we're allowed to daven for, and which themes are important to daven for. On our own, we'd miss important themes. We'd say too much, we'd say too little. We'd focus on the wrong approach. We would violate the sense of humiliating Hashem by giving our own praises, our own sense of what's important and what's not. So far we have the Rashba's idea to remind us that to whom we're talking, the one who can help, the only one who can help, and how we're not worthy. And our second idea is before we can ask for anything, we have to be in this mindset. Pesukei Dezimra, we're only, as we say in Baruch Shamar, Uveshirei David Avdecha Nahalelcha. We only can praise Hashem with the Shiras of David HaMelech. And over time, they added on by Baruch David, Az Yashir, also praises that were sanctioned by the Nevi'im. But it has to be sanctioned. A prelude to davening, and about Gal Yisrael, about Gulas Hashem. We can describe what we actually witnessed. We witnessed him taking us out of Mitzrayim. We can describe what we witnessed. But ultimately, Hashem's Fasvai Tiftach. We say to Hashem, we're not worthy. We don't know how to speak. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to formulate it. And therefore, we have to rely on the text of the Anshei Kesed HaGedolim. It's a good time to review what we said a dozen times before, what Rav Hirsch said. First said it makes no sense for tefillah to be everyone saying the same words all the time at the exact same time. If tefillah meant expressing what's important to me. But instead, Rav Hirsch pointed out that tefillah is reflexive. Tefillah is a reviewing and inculcating within ourselves. These values are important. This element of Hashem is important for me to think about. Again, as we start Shmona Esrei with a praise before we ask for anything, the time to remind ourselves, not just to whom we're speaking, that was the Rashba's idea, but the second approach, Rav Soloveitchik's idea, that tefillah requires a matir. We need permission for which brachos we say, what's included in those brachos, how many brachos we say, and everything else has to fit into that framework. We are hearkening back to the Avos. We are hearkening back to those who knew much more than we do in terms of giving us the important values and the proper way to say it. Our last takeaway for tonight, our last spin, our last primer, that these introductory brachos of praise give us things to think about, is taking it one step further. The idea, still built on the idea that we don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, we don't know what he's like, we don't actually know his essence. Aside from the fact that the Atzei Kaseh HaGedolah told us don't say too much, they also came along and told us not to say too little. In fact, the Gemara Maseches Yuma, in source number 14, tells us how they got this name. Ever wonder, why were they called the men of the Great Assembly? What was so great about them? So the Gemara explains in source number 14, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Lama Nikra Shman Anshei Knesset HaGedola, Shech Ziru Atara Liyoshna, they restored HaKadosh Baruch Hu's crown, they restored the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu lose his glory, Kiviyachol? The Gemara explains, Asa Moshe Amar Hakel Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanorah. As I mentioned before, you can't say more than that, but maybe we shouldn't say less than that either. Moshe describes the Kadosh Baruch Hu as being a powerful God who is great, who is mighty, and who is awesome. But then later, as Korban Abayas, Asa Yirmiyah, the Amar Yirmiyah came along, and he saw Nachrim, Mekarkarim, Behechalo, the enemies are dancing around and desecrating the temple. Ayeno Rosav, where is the sense of awe? Where is the respect? Does God have no respect for his own house? Lo Amar Nora. In the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, he mentions Hashem as being Gadol and being Gibor, but he leaves out Nora. Asa Daniel, who came a little bit later, post-Korban, post-Galus, Bavel, and Daniel says, Nachrim Ishtabdim Bibanav, Jewish people are living in exile under the control of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians. Ayeh Gibor Asaf, where is his might? He can't defend us, he can't protect us. So he said Nora, but he left out Gibor. Moshe said all them, but the Nevi'im over time, as they saw tragedy, as they saw bad things happening, they started taking out some of the praises in their tefillah. Wow. And then, after the establishment of Bayis Sheni, these 120 tzaddikim, they weren't all one generation, but these are great men of the assembly. Why were they so great? Asu Inu Va'amru, they said, no! Don't take away HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory. Don't doubt whether he is Nora, whether he is Gibor. Adarabah, on the contrary. Zohi Gevuras Gevurasa. Daniel said, where's the Gvura if the enemies are winning? Mara says, don't you realize that's the Gvura of Hashem? He didn't intervene. If Klal Yisrael was deserving of being punished and the Rishayim were doing things that were wrong, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't intervene. He was Gvura to control himself. That was the Gvura. Ve'elohein norosav. And you said, Yirmiyahu, where's Hashem's glory if the house is being destroyed? So the Atzei Kaseh HaGedolah responded, Shalomalei Morao Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, Heich Uma Achas Yichol Leskayim Bein HaUmos. You think it's an easy thing for a nation to survive without a homeland, without a political system? How can a nation survive? A sheep among all the wolves, how is that possible? There is a Nora of Hashem. In other words, whereas in time, Yirmiyahu and Daniel saw them as questions, later people came along in hindsight and they said, you know, the Gvur of Hashem was always there. The Nora of Hashem was always there. You had the wrong perspective. Tadam Arsha, in source number 15, explains it. Each of the Nevi'im, when they came along with their own perspective, they described Hashem as they saw at the time. When Yirmiyahu saw destruction, he said, where's the awe? Where's the sense of austere sense of respect? And when Daniel came along, he said, where's the Gvura? People are so downtrodden and so lost. It says the Marsha at the end of source 15, Ada Asu Atzei Kaseh HaGedolah Shahayu Gam Besof Shivim Shanim Shal Galus Bavel. You know who was among those people? It was Mordechai and all of his friends. And when they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from Haman during that time period, says the Marsha, Chazru Lomar Harei B'chol HaShanim Halalu Sheherech Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Rishayim Zohi Gevurasa. It took people who came after the fact and said, if you're not living through destruction, like Yirmiyahu was, You're not living through the freshness of the galus like Daniel was. When you have hindsight, when you have the ability to look and say, you know, in real time it doesn't look so noticeable. Where is Hashem acting? I don't understand his ways. It looks so cruel, it looks so mean, not just for us, but for him. Where is he? What's he doing? But in hindsight, they had the great zoomed out lens to say, even in times of tragedy, even in times of difficulty, he was there and he was demonstrating Gvura in a different way. And he was demonstrating Nora in a different way. Jonathan Eibschitz in source number 16 explains that the greatest Gvura is to watch your child in pain and not intervene. The child needs medicine. The child requires a shot or a medical procedure. And the child looks at you like, what's wrong with you, parent? Mommy, daddy, you love me. Why are you handing me over to this cruel doctor with the needle? A parent wants to say, you know what? Forget it. We're going home. I'm letting some crazy guy with a white coat put a needle in my kid. But the parent knows the child needs this. Child is sick. Child needs a refuah. Child needs a procedure. So what does the parent do? Parent turns around and walks out of the room. Because the gvura, the greatest gvura, is to know how to help your child even when they're pleading, help me, and you know maybe this is best for them. Yes, to be sensitive to the pain in real time and to cry with them, but at the same time, not just give in because they're crying and say, okay, fine, I'll take you out of here. We'll go home from the doctor. We won't get our vaccinations or our shots or our surgeries because you're crying and you're sad. The real gvura is for a parent to say, I'm looking at the bigger picture here. I'm looking at this lens of what the master, the one who knows everything, understands is much more gvura than we think. It does take gvura for a person to watch their child in pain and be able to say, you know what, in the bigger picture, this is the kapara, this is the punishment, this is the seeds of redemption that are going to come later. We don't see it. Yirmiyahu didn't see it. Daniel didn't see it. They questioned Moshe's descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it took Mordechai and his friends after the Purim story and beyond, the building of Bayis Sheni and beyond, different generations, but they were able to bring it back and say, HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora, even if we don't see it in real time. It feels painful. We don't understand it. We have to be able to zoom out and have the trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on. If that is the case, I believe that is a third, very important message to have before we daven. We spoke about this in our shiur about how to respond to tefillos that don't appear to be answered in the way that we're asking. How are you supposed to relate to that? I'm asking Hashem for all these things. I'm praying so hard, and he's not answering me. And we framed it, he is answering. Sometimes he says no, but he's listening and he cares. Maybe we're asking too specifically. Maybe we're not fully aware of like the big picture that would affect our lives in some way or another. If we're going to be having this mindset before davening, it's going to help us relate to when our tefillos don't appear to be answered how we expect them to be answered. We could just jump in and say, okay, time to ask for das, and time to ask for refuah, and time to ask for mevarach hashanah, and time to ask for geula. I could ask for all those things. But then I remind myself, you know, before I ask for anything specific, let me remind myself who I'm speaking to. He is HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora. He has this great lens. He has this great understanding that I don't. And even the Nevi'im in real time didn't see. But the ones who composed this tefillah and the ones who made sure to start this tefillah with these sections of praise reminded us because Baruch Hu has a much bigger lens. Soloveitchik, we'll end off with this, expresses this idea so beautifully. It's written in different sarim, but I gave it to you from the Sefer, the Rav on Tefillah, in source number 17. He's explaining why it's so important before we dive and we say, Hashem is Fasai Tiftach, one of our many introductions by ways of introduction. He writes in the second paragraph, every individual who comes to pray grapples anew with this question. How is it possible to have a dialogue between man and his creator? As his lips move with trepidation, he expresses his frailty and nothingness, beginning Amidah with Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Agid Tehilasecha. In other words, I do not know how to move my lips. I don't know what to say. My perspective is so limited. Not only in not praising you too much, but in terms of, I have questions. I don't understand why there's the need for das. Why is there a need for refuah? Why is there a need for slicha? Why is there a need for mevarach hashana? Why is there a need for kibbutz galiyot? Why is there war? Why is there death? Why is there suffering? Before you could ask for any of those things, acknowledge we don't know. Acknowledge we're limited in our ability to see Hashem, and we're limited in our ability to understand His ways. On the next page, this is the general preamble to prayer. The unfortunate one confesses his lowliness, his grief, and his despair. He pleads with Hashem, teach me how to pray. And therefore, what are the praises in this section after we acknowledge how limited we are? What are the praises highlighted in this section? Amazing. What are the three brachos in this section? Avos, Gevuros, and Kedushas Hashem. It is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu are absolutely ethical and moral. We declare Hashem knows what He's doing. The first bracha of Avos is about Hashem's big picture. About the Avos, the national vision, the national dynasty, the promise to keep Magen Avraham, the children of Abraham, safe. The big picture. The promise, Bris Ben Absarim, and beyond. Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking at the big giant picture. Konei HaKol, Zocher Chasdei Avos, he's looking at thousands of years, he's looking at the entire universe, and he's making big picture decisions that we don't see. That's the first bracha. Remember, we're speaking to the one and we're about to ask for things. But we can't ask for things until we acknowledge he's looking at a much bigger picture. Over generations, over zillions of lives that are all interconnected, he's looking at a giant, giant picture. And what's the second bracha? Sumech noflim, rofei cholim, matir asirim. To each individual, also he's attentive. He's not just focused on big picture, any collateral damage along the way. Oops, for the greater good. First bracha, he's focused on national destiny, generations, zchosavos, konei akol. But also, second bracha, the gvura of Hashem to be involved. In the places where we mention Hashem's greatness, we also mention his humility, to be able to be on the ground with the individuals, the ones who are struggling, individuals who are struggling with being imprisoned and being trapped and our hostages, Rahman al-Atslan, our poor hostages. He is attentive. He is there. He is part of it. We don't understand. How could this be? Big picture. Big picture, he's looking at a much wider lens that we'll never understand. Yirmiyahu didn't understand in real time. Daniel didn't understand in real time. But the tefillah was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who were taking a wider lens to say, there is a Yeshua, there's a Mordechai, there's a Haman, there's a big picture that allows us to see somehow in the grand scheme HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. In the big picture of Avos, and in the small picture of Gevuros. And we end off with Kiddushas Hashem. The third blessing, too, emphasizes the absolute morality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are holy, your name is holy. Everything you do is righteous. Everything you do has a purpose. All Kedoshim, all those who have a higher elevated purpose in this world, Yahalu Chasela, can understand that you're onto something over here. Look at those themes. Look at those themes the Rav is saying in the first three brachos. You're in charge of everything. You take care of the individuals. At the same time, somehow what looks like a clash is Kedoshas Hashem. The name, the actions, they're all righteous. They're all ethical. They're all moral. In some bigger picture, they're all right. And that's the mindset we have to have before we can ask for anything specific. If it's all about me and what I think is right and what I think is fair, then why isn't he giving me the test results that I want and the job that I want? Why isn't he giving me the help that I want? You're right. If you're going to go with that mindset, of course you're going to be disappointed all the time. But what if before we ask for anything, we had to stop and remind ourselves, we're seeing a sliver of who he is, of what he's doing. He's looking at thousands of years in one shot, and we're looking at 5 minutes and saying, I don't understand. It is frustrating, very, very frustrating. Wouldn't it help to start before asking for anything, first remind ourselves of how powerful he is, how involved he is, how righteous he is? We do! Brachos 1, Brachos 2, Brachos 3, that's it! So we do before we ask for anything. We have to have this section. If praise in the Amidah, like for me, has been a problem for you, in terms of why are we saying these things, mentioning about the Avos and about the Tchias HaMeisim and his Kedusha, why are we saying these things? These are our three different primers for tonight, our three different mindsets that we said. Number one, the Rashba's idea, to make sure that we know we're addressing the right one, the only one. We're not deserving, but it's because we're approaching him. Number two, the idea of connecting our text back to the text of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, realizing they established it for us. They established it in the Avos. They established it in terms of precedent that allows us to say we are connecting to a bigger theme than maybe we would ever know how to express. And our third primer, Soloveitchik's idea, that we're addressing the one who has a big and small view of what's going on, and somehow to reconcile they're all right. These are our takeaways for tonight. Number one, our Amidah has many intros, praising Hashem, asking for help, articulating ourselves, and invoking Zuchos Avos. So our three takeaways, number one, or two in this section, before requesting anything, we have to remember with whom we're speaking, and those first three brachos, he doesn't owe us, he can do it all, and there is no one else to turn to. There are no other avenues except for Hashem. Our second approach, our second primer, we open with a reminder of the importance of using the text in Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and we need that matir, as the Rav said, we need that matir to address Hashem, which relies on Ruach HaKodesh, going all the way back to the Avos, which is how we start Shemona Esrei. And lastly, before requesting anything, we need to acknowledge our limited scope. The first three brachos tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was considering a bigger picture, the individual's picture, and in the end, he always finds the righteous way. And this perspective can make it a lot easier for us to handle it when Hashem ultimately says no. Imagine if before we actually daven, we had this mindset. Pesukei Dezimra reminding us of who Hashem is and what he means to us and relying on the Ruach HaKodesh David HaMelech and how wide his abilities are. And we get to Geula, and we think about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who's ever been able to help us, and how we've seen him in some capacity helping us, and we believe, as Reina Yonah said, that he's actually involved in our lives and continues to be involved in our lives. Shem's Pasai Tiftach reminds us of how limited we are, how we're not really able to truly understand what we're deserving, and also remember that we couldn't have said this ourselves, and we have to remember how limited our scope is. And the actual Avos itself, it tells us about how there's a source for tefillah, it tells us how there's a power Kadosh Baruch Hu has in the global sense, and hopefully with the brachos continue, it sets us up for this primer, to believe who we're speaking to be able to acknowledge the great precedent for davening, we're tapping into the great value in the words that were chosen so carefully based on precedent, and ultimately to remember Kadosh Baruch Hu has a bigger picture, and whatever we're asking has to come in that perspective. So I hope, as it did for me, and this will be something that changes the way you begin the Shmona Esrei, to be able to then prime the way in which we ask for things, the way in which we relate when we don't get the things that we ask for, to have the faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It all starts from this many, many layers of introductions and many, many different layers of praise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu.